Welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Cat. That's C-A-T, ice in the cake. Cat, what's happening?
Hey, how y'all doing? We've just found on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Audible, Amazon, all the best ones. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram, and if you found either one of us on TikTok, we'll TikTok to you. We've got two special towns here in the United States we are shouting out. One is Dawsonville, Georgia, known for the moonshine capital and the birthplace of stock car racing. It's the home of the NASCAR champion, Chase Elliott. It also has lovely, in the fall, pumpkin patches, family farms attracting visitors, scenic North Georgia. Our other town is Snoqualmie, Washington, known for the natural Snoqualmie Falls. Snoqualmie is a destination for travelers worldwide, 25 miles east of Seattle. They're in the upper Snoqualmie Valley. It is also where one of my favorite programs of all time was filmed, Twin Peaks. Of course, we just lost Mr. David Lynch not too long ago. Snoqualmie is a word divided from the hush to seed language called the meaning of people of the moon. Giving y'all a round of applause.
Wow. Caught me with my shot glass down. All right. Alcohol is always here on the back porch. You know, in alcohol's defense, I have done some completely stupid things while I was sober. Today, I'm having a Smithwick's Red Ale. I've slowly become a big fan of this red. Some reds are too red, but the Smithwick's has got the formula nailed down. Cat, what you got?
It's that time of year, springtime, and one of my favorite fruits is condiment season strawberries, and I'm making me a little strawberry martini.
Ooh, sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, Don.
All right, today we ask the question, what happened to hitchhiking? You don't see anyone on the side of the road with their thumbs sticking out trying to hitch a ride anymore, at least not around here.
Axe murders, killing sprees.
You know, back in the day where I grew up, I saw people hitchhiking. Hell, my parents would pick up hitchhikers every now and then. Of course, it was someone from the neighborhood.
Probably a relative.
Yeah. Hey, watch it. Me and my brother, we'd have to slide over in the slide in the seat. Get over the hitchhikers getting in. You got to remember, back in the day, too, not everybody had a car back then. I remember this one dude. He'd always be out thumbing on the side of Route 60. He worked at the Golden Skillet, a chicken spot in Sandston, Virginia.
I loved Golden Skillet chicken.
All right, this dude was a cook at the Golden Skillet.
That's
but
talent.
But he had no wheels to get there. He spent his money on other stuff. So, but no worries, because dude always scored a ride and got there on time. Because like, we got to get the cook to the skillet now. Here's a good question. When people decided to start walking down the road hoping to get a lift, who was the first one to stick their thumb out, pointing in the direction, hey, I'm going this way? Can we hit the History with Steve music?
You can find it.
All right. Around the 1920s. Was when the term hitchhiker popped up. Phrases like thumbing their way from coast to coast. Articles came out in the 1920s in certain publications referring to them as thumb pointers and thumb jerkers. For some reason, it always seems like the female hitchhiker. Can you cut that shit off? Cut it off. It won't cut off? Thank
you're good
you.
Now.
Can we get a new engineer? Engineer. I digress. Let's back up. For some reason, the female hitchhiker always seem to have better luck, right?
Right.
Scoring a ride. Maybe lady hitchhikers were sticking out more than their thumbs. Hitchhiking started out as like, you know, like an adventure, right? Let's just hit the open road and see where it takes us. But then the Great Depression hit, and was it 1920? And for some reason, hitchhiking became a it became a necessity.
Right.
People didn't have anything. They were trying to get to the next town, looking for work. Some people would pack a bag of clothes and stick their thumb out, you know, to try to get out of a bad situation. Abusive parents, abusive relationship. If things get that bad, you know, and you've got to get away. Back then, hitchhiking was basically all you had. So many movies about hitchhikers.
Seemed to be a lot of hitchhikers during like World War II, like soldiers trying to get home.
Right. It was a thing.
Right.
Usually the hitchhiker movies are bad. It happened one night. Reaper. Wasn't the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, sort of?
Yeah.
How about these titles? Freeway Killer. Even Cowgirls Get the Blues. The Hitchhiker. Hitchhikers in the Dark. Many, many more. Again, nothing good happens to the hitchhikers in these movies. You know, it's not just an American thing either. Cuba, you know, in Cuba, government vehicles are required to pull over and pick up a hitchhiker. Hitchhiking, Poland, Iceland, New Zealand. It's all legal. You know, speaking of legal or not legal, here in the U.S., only Wyoming, Nevada, Utah, Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. Is it legal? I mean, is it illegal to hitchhike? So Wyoming, Nevada, Utah, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, no hitchhiking.
No hitchhiking at all.
Believe it or not, there's an app. I know there's an app for probably tablecloths that we're looking at right now. There's an app for hitchhiking called My Hitchhiking Spot. I'm not lying. They got a website called HitchWiki. Check it out. Now, you think about it. For someone to just start walking down the road with their thumb out, you got to be what? Like part brave, maybe a little stupid, and have a whole lot of trust to get a free ride from someone you don't know. We got a different form of hitchhiking now. It's called Uber. But, of course, that's not free. But you are getting a lift from someone you don't know. Hitchhiking.
But, like, the buses, as I learned, a lot of homeless people kind of live on those all day long.
Right.
Because they're not paying for that.
Right. Hitchhiking, it's had its peaks and valleys through the decades. After the Great Depression, I never knew why we called it the Great Depression. Really, nothing great about it.
Well, I guess sucky depression was taken by something. I don't know. Really sucky depression.
In the 1930s into the 40s, after the Depression, hitchhiking a ride was a necessity for a lot of people. In the 50s, it kind of faded away. Then in the 60s and 70s, hitchhiking became what part of like the youth culture.
Right. You know.
Exploration.
Especially if
freedom.
Somebody's got some good drugs right. in the car going yeah. to, I don't know. Woodstock.
The hippies didn't mind. The hippies, we'll hitch a ride. But by the time the 80s hit, hitchhiking started to disappear. To me, in this country, the 80s was when our culture kind of shifted from, I'll say like we to me.
Right.
We started to not worry.
I mean, the 70s were supposed to be the me generation or whatever. So
I don't know. I mean, we just started to, you know, not worry so much about our brother. We started thinking about ourselves. Now today in 2025, it's really me, myself, and I.
Well, I mean, we had a situation today where we had people working for us. As soon as their work was done today, On the phones they were. Looking at my phone.
Right.
Looking at my phone.
Yeah, I know some of you young cats out there are listening, thinking, what's this old dude talking about thumbing a ride? Was he freaking crazy?
What is this hitchhiking stuff?
I'm just trying to make a point, you know, that...
There wasn't an Uber available?
People seem to trust each other, get along, right?
Right.
Get along a little better back then. You know, crime wasn't as rampant as it is now, you know, kind of... Living in a society now where we're scared to help someone, right? You're actually scared to help someone at this point that you don't know because, fuck, they might knock you in the head and steal your shit. You don't know. Hitchhiking, you know, it wasn't that scary a proposition, but as kids, we were told, what, don't talk to strangers.
Well, there were people, like, I would have to walk to go to the local pool back when it was... safe to do that. I wouldn't do that on that road now, even though they widened it.
Right.
But people would stop and try and give me a ride, and some of the people, I'd just say, nope.
Anyway, I don't know. It just kind of popped in my head the other day. It's like, you never see anyone hitchhiking anymore. I'm going to try it tomorrow. All right, let's roll right into One Tough Awesome Lady. All right, we got Jesse Wilcox Smith, born in 1863 from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Jesse Wilcox Smith was an American illustrator during the golden age of American illustration. The way Jesse Wilcox Smith entered this podcast was, I've been cleaning out the basement, and I came upon a matted illustration called Sweethearts, and on the back was painted Sweethearts by Jesse Wilcox Smith. So I guess Cat had purchased this print probably like 30 years ago or more.
Right.
And I stumbled upon it.
Yeah, there was another book called Eight Cousins. It was a book by Louise May Alcott, the same lady who did Little Women, that had all just Mrs. Smith's illustrations all the way through.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it was done by Jesse Smith, and so I looked her up, and I'm like, this lady was awesome. She did illustrations for everybody who was somebody back in the day. Ladies Home Journal, Good Housekeeping Magazine. She did illustrations for Charles Dickens books. She did ads for Kodak, Procter & Gamble. One of the highest paid illustrators of her time. And check out her work. Google Jesse Wilcox Smith and check her out. Her stuff is really good, regarded as the greatest children's book illustrator ever.
She studied at the School of Design for Women, which is now Moore College of Art and Design, Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts, and Drexel Institute, now Drexel University.
She's got works at the Library of Congress and at the Smithsonian.
She had developed close friendships with fellow illustrators, Elizabeth Shippen Green, Violet Oakley. They were known as the Rose Girls, who collaborated in illustrations together.
And that makes Jesse Wilcox Smith One Tough Awesome Lady. Did we watch stuff this week?
We're watching, and we're enjoying what we're watching. A lot of people are talking about what we're watching. This is the third season of The White Lotus. Of course, written and directed excellently by Mike White, premiered February 16th. It's all-star cast, and the one part of the thing that everybody's like, I guess, going towards is there's a family. And the family is headed by one of my favorite indie actresses, Parker Posey, along with English actor Jason Isaacs. And they are a North Carolina family. And they're hilarious because they're just so, I don't know how to put it, prudish and snobby. And awful. And Parker Posey, who's, of course, from Louisiana, but she's doing a North Carolina accent, and she's doing it perfectly. You know, and, of course, there's a little thing between, you know, UNC and Duke. You don't, you know, everybody good goes to Duke now. And you're just, and you just want to dive into these relationships. And as the story is going on, the husband, who's played by Jason Isaac, his company is at home being raided by the FBI for doing some dodgy shit. And he's trying to, he wants his phone, but then he wants to get rid of the phone because everybody's calling him. Of course, they're in Thailand. They're trying to, you know, find inner peace and Buddhism and, you know, trying to get to be a better person and this, that, and the other. And these awful people are trying to be better people. It's quite hilarious.
It's the Lotus.
It's the Lotus. Anyway, so far I've watched all the episodes that have gone on so far, and they're just freaking hilarious. And, you know, if Parker is doing this accent, you know, and she's doing it so funny, and other people are imitating, like one of Arnold Schwarzenegger's, said Patrick Schwarzenegger's in this, is playing the one, the older son, and he's like on there imitating, you know, Parker going, "Piper, Piper, tsunami," because, you know, if you're from the South, you don't really hear those accents that much in, you know, popular media. So when you see that going on, you're just delving into it. And so far, the story is pretty good. You get a little eyesight of what's going to happen at the beginning, the first episode, but you're kind of on the journey there. And so far, it's two thumbs up. Everybody's talking about it. It's really good. The third season of The White Lotus. I mean, the first two
the
seasons.
The last one.
Don't be saying that.
It, they got, they have it on there, on
they
the
say
advertisement.
It's going to be the final tour. One.
That's what it said.
Oh, I thought that was just for the Gemstones.
Okay. Oh, you know what? You're right. You're right. I'm wrong. It's Gemstones.
Gemstones is the final season. And
that's,
that's
the other whack-a-mole show. Yeah.
That's another representation of Southern culture. You just will not forget.
All right, let's do a shot.
Anyway, our shot today is called the Pecan Pie Shot.
Oh, my God.
It's one part butterscotch schnapps, amaretto, vanilla vodka, and rum chata.
All right, let's do it. You know I like some pecan pie.
Yeah, let's see if this is the real deal or not. It's not bad.
There's a lot going on there.
There's a lot going on there.
It's like putting a piece of pecan pie in a blender and then sucking it through a straw and going, "What the fuck is this?" All right, what is it? It's the pecan pie shot.
It's the pecan pie shot.
All right, we don't approve.
You would have this at Thanksgiving now.
If it was cold and I was freezing out here on the
and
back
you
porch,
you had to deal with some really awful relatives.
Nothing else, I would do it. All right, today we were bumpered in with a young lady called Angie McMahon, 32 years old from, I'm going to say, Alphington, Australia. Angie McMahon has two albums to her credit so far. Salt, released in 2019, and Light, Dark, Light Again, released in 2023. Got a couple EPs out. Very talented lady. Angie, she likes to start her songs off kind of slow, somber, and then they build and build. Angie McMahon, she's done some interesting covers. Silver Springs by Fleetwood Mac, Helpless by Neil Young, and Knowing Me, Knowing You by Sweden's own ABBA. Check this out. Angie McMahon, she won some kind of contest in 2013 and got to open for the horrible joke of a band called Bon Jovi while they were on tour in Australia. Today we were bumpered in with the song Untangling off her 2024 EP called Light Sides. Go to iTunes and download Untangling by Angie McMahon. It's a really great song.
Does she seem scatterbrained at all?
I don't know.
Because she's recently diagnosed with ADHD.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
That
check
doesn't
out
matter.
Angie McMahon.
She has concerts coming August 19th, Cork Opera House in Cork, Ireland.
All right. Check out Angie McMahon wherever you get your music. I want to thank everyone for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.
See ya.
I dropped out of my old shape, and the moves that I made up to twist so I fit someplace. Now I lift weight and I feel safe. I'm not so afraid. I've got something.